Live from Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. After an incredible season of rain and snow, temperatures in Northern California are going to start to feel a little more spring-like in the coming days. But don't be fooled by the bright sunny skies. California's air is poor, and in some cases pretty bad, according to the latest State of the Air report by the American Lung Association. The results show California still has some of the worst air quality in the country. We'll get into how we got here and what still needs to be done in a minute, but here are some of the major takeaways from the Lung Association's report. Almost all Californians live in an area that earned a failing grade for unhealthy ozone pollution days. That's 98% of us. 12 California cities are on the list of most polluted cities in the nation, and the Sacramento-Roseville area appears on multiple lists for most polluted cities. Now, while the news isn't necessarily good, are there any positives that we can point to? Joining us now is Will Barrett, the National Senior Director of Clean Air Advocacy for the American Lung Association. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Vicky. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, so let's start with the tail end point that I just made. Is it all bad news for California and our area here in Sacramento? Are there any positives out of this report?
No, there are definitely positives in the report. Now, the Lung Association State of the Air report has been around for 24 years, so we have a long history of reviewing the air quality data. And one of the key things that I was looking at this morning was, you know, Sacramento has seen a 75% reduction in the number of unhealthy ozone days or smog days over the course of our report. So that's important progress. We still have a long way to go, but there are definite signs of improvement.
So how are counties graded and ranked, and what are they graded on?
Sure. Well, we take three looks at air quality. We look at the number of unhealthy ozone pollution days or smog days, the number of unhealthy particle pollution days, sometimes called soot. And then we look at whether or not a county attains the national standards for annual levels of particle pollution. So the level of particles in the air throughout the whole year on average.
So if there has been some progress, given that your report goes back a couple decades, can you explain more why California falls on some of these lists nationally, because it's towards the bottom or at the bottom?
Well, that's right. At the national level, we see approximately 120 million Americans living in a community that receives a failing grade in the report for at least one pollutant. That's one in three Americans. And as you noted, over 90% of Californians live in a community that receives at least one failing grade. And there are a lot of factors for that, but some of them include, you know, we have a very large population. We have a climate that's conducive to generation of pollution, but we also have major sources of pollution to deal with. In California and locally, we have transportation sources dominating why we have so much ozone pollution challenges. And increasingly, we're seeing the impacts of wildfires having a major effect on the level of particles that Californians are breathing.
So what state would be a gold standard in air quality?
Oh, well, we've seen states throughout the country that don't have any failing grades. That's improved. We've seen more states in that category over the years. But I will point out, too, though, that unfortunately, some of the states on the, you know, in the Midwest and eastern United States have started to see the impacts of Western wildfire smoke landing, you know, in their states at the ground level and impacting health. So we know that, you know, there's been strong progress over the 24 years of our report, 50 plus years of the Federal Clean Air Act, but climate change is making the job of keeping our air clean harder, and the hard-fought gains are harder to maintain.
When I've looked at these reports in the past and reported on them, I know that, you know, our agricultural industry does play a role in air quality across the state, and we do feed a good portion of the country. But what I'm hearing from you is that wildfires are also a big contributor.
Well, that's right. We definitely have, you know, the everyday sources of pollution, whether that is, you know, diesel equipment in the agricultural community or construction, the heavy duty diesel trucks running up and down the freeways in Sacramento, the rail yards and the ports around our communities. Those are all major contributors to our pollution challenges, and especially for lower income communities and people of color who tend to, you know, be greatest impacted by these local sources of pollution. So then when we add in the fact that we're seeing these catastrophic, uncontrolled wildfires increase, we're essentially adding a layer of insult to injury in communities who are already dealing with heavy sources of pollution.
Yeah, I mean, and California is a large state and we have over 40 million people. But in terms of landscape, we have such a diverse landscape as well. And when it comes to climate and weather, we have the most dramatic pendulum swings in weather in terms of variability in the country, I think, or even perhaps North America. Does that play a role in why our air quality is lower than other states in the country?
Well, again, I think it's a contributing factor to why the job of cleaning our air is that much more difficult. We do have those population challenges. We've got the major sources of transportation pollution, like I mentioned, that need to be cleaned up. But the conditions that allow for pollution to form, whether that's ozone on hot, sunny days coming, you know, tailpipe emissions mixing in hot weather, as we see extreme weather happening, extreme heat, those days of ozone formation are more likely. And then at the same time, we're dealing with, you know, drought conditions, like you mentioned, the increase in wildfires. Those both add to the ability of particle pollution to basically stagnate and stay in our communities and longer. They're not being washed out by rain. Obviously, this last summer or winter was a very rainy winter, but we do know that, you know, in the drought conditions, those particles can build and build and build for days on end and really have a really negative impact.
So is this winter season good news when it comes to improving the air quality?
Well, I think if you look at it at the time on air quality, it certainly would have knocked out a lot of the particle emissions in the air. But at the same time, if we're going to wind up seeing, you know, major growth in grasslands and brush that could eventually go up in smoke with catastrophic wildfire events, that might bear out differently in the long run.
Hmm. When I think about the areas in our state that might have the poorest air quality, like I'm going to think about Los Angeles. I'm from Los Angeles. I'll think about, you know, areas in the Bay Area, for example. But there's also the Central Valley. Are those, am I correct in that those are the leading regions in the state with the poorest air quality, or are there others that people may not think about?
Well, I'll take your last part first. And there are definitely places in the state where I think people think, you know, they must have clean air. They're on the coast. They're, you know, dealing with coastal breezes, knocking out local pollution sources or moving it inland. But, you know, Salinas, for example, winds up on both one of our cleanest cities lists and one of our most polluted cities lists. And that's just a function of different pollutants acting differently throughout the years. And that can be surprising, I think. But as you mentioned, Los Angeles, parts of the Bay Area, and, you know, in the Central Valley, we see some of the most polluted cities in the nation. For example, Los Angeles ranks number one for most unhealthy ozone pollution days. Bakersfield ranks number one in the country for most particle pollution days. And Bakersfield and Visalia are tied for number one most polluted in terms of annual levels of pollution.
And that's not just in the state. Is that in the country?
That's in the nation. That's right. So, yeah, we have significant challenges, and those challenges vary depending on, you know, the geography, the local sources of emissions. In the valleys, we have, you know, areas where pollution can collect. You think of valleys as a sink or a bathtub where, you know, that pollution can sit for days on end if it's not moved out by rain or wind, you know, patterns, that you can really trap it and leave people breathing that air for, you know, days or weeks on end.
Yeah, you use Salinas as an example in terms of having like good measurements and bad measurements in air quality. How should people who live in Salinas or in areas like this, how should they take that information? Because it almost seems like it's contradicting itself.
Well, it's again, it's the difference in the nature of the two pollutants. You have particles, which are, you know, fine bits of soot, ash, smoke, things like, you know, a lot of that driven by wildfires in recent years. And then you have ozone, which is more the summertime smog. So that's where we see on the coast, generally speaking, you know, cleaner conditions, because while there are many tailpipe emissions and things like that mix into ozone in the atmosphere, they can be pushed inland and actually move the damage of that pollution into other communities. So while Salinas might have, you know, rank as one of the cleanest in the country, there's certainly pollution coming from the community that might not stay there.
Mm. When it comes to our area in Sacramento, Roseville, I mean, this region ranks in the top 10 of the most polluted cities. Why is that?
Well, it comes down to the number of unhealthy days of pollution that we're dealing with in the region. And, you know, for ozone, we're nearly a month of unhealthy ozone days in some parts of the area. Like I said at the beginning, you know, in the early years of the report, that number was over 100 days. So that's significant progress. But again, we still have a good way to go. And again, in recent years, this year's report covers the years 2019 through 2021. And we know that that was a period where we saw some of the largest fires in state history occurring. So the amount of extra particle emissions at the time was really off the charts in some ways. Mm-hmm.
Is there something unique about the Roseville-Rockland area when it comes to the ozone layer?
As far as ozone pollution, certainly, you know, parts of the Sacramento area of Roseville that are Auburn, you know, Folsom, that are downwind maybe of the major metro center in downtown Sacramento and the major freeways, that pollution can travel, you know, so it's there's no doubt that there are many major sources of pollution, say Roseville, the rail yards or the freeways. You know, you've got major sources of pollution there, but the pollution as it mixes in the atmosphere from the Sacramento tailpipe, you know, emissions or the ports and the freeways, that can move around the community just like that we do in our travel patterns. So as far as it being unique, if it's downwind of a major city, a larger city, that can have an impact.
Yeah. Going further up north, you know, past the North State in Shasta County, I mean, the area of Redding also didn't do well as well. I mean, what's unique about this area that's contributing to poor air quality?
Well, again, I think parts of it are, you know, our, you know, our unfortunate recent pattern of major wildfires is a dominant story, right? I think whether that's the 2020 wildfire season where we just saw a month straight of very, very bad air quality days, or the 2021 Dixie fire, for example, where when the winds changed, some of that smoke went over to Reno and made them one of the worst in the nation for air pollution. And then some of that smoke came back into into the Central Valley or Northern Sacramento Valley, and had a significant impact. So again, it comes down to those additional layers of pollution on top of the local challenges that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah, I mean, you think about that time span that you're looking at. I mean, you had multiple wildfires, from complex wildfires to the Dixie Fire, which was nearly 1 million acres, and the Caldor Fire. And I think we all can remember, you know, just how poor the air quality was for days or even weeks on end. If we took wildfire smoke just out of the equation, how do you think California would be doing?
Well, again, we still have, you know, many major sources of pollution. So, for example, we take our neighbors to the south, the Fresno Bakersfield area, where they've got, you know, major freeways like we do in Sacramento. They have oil and gas operations. They have major freight movement issues. And that's all contributing to local sources of pollution. In Sacramento, similarly, we've got, you know, the major freeways running through our community. Most of that is going to be combustion-based vehicles, whether it's passenger cars or heavy duty trucks or, you know, buses running and burning fuel. And that fuel winds up in our lungs, and, you know, essentially. And so as we're moving to clean up all of those sources, we know that we have made significant improvements. One example on particles, the Sacramento Air District put in a policy years ago that, you know, to put in prohibitions on burning in fireplaces at certain times of the year, or certain days when the pollution was known to, you know, the conditions were going to add to our pollution challenges. And that policy cut particles 80% or more within the first few years of the program. So there are significant improvements that have been made. But again, climate impacts are really making it hard to maintain momentum. Mm.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Will Barrett with the American Lung Association about the latest air quality report for California and the greater Sacramento area. So here in California, we have very ambitious emissions goals here. And, you know, some people would argue that they're incredibly costly. They may be unattainable. So what more can the government or we as individuals do to make progress on air quality?
It's a great question. And I think the issue of cost is always an interesting one, because there are costs to, technologies, but there are also many incentive programs in place at the local level, for example, for cleaner vehicle programs, or incentives for trading out appliances for cleaner non-combustion appliances in the home, like stoves or that kind of thing. And so there are programs in place to help with the cost, but at the same time, there's the kind of unspoken cost of what air pollution does to our community, the cost of additional medication, hospitalizations and emergency room visits, lost work days and lost school days, for example. These add up to the billions and billions of dollars. And in California especially, we know that this transition to zero emission technology, for example, for zero emission vehicles and trucks that the state has put a lot of emphasis on, that'll save us $170 billion over the next several decades because of the transition to cleaner technologies and cleaning up our air pollution.
Yeah. And as we know, when it comes to poor air quality, it disproportionately impacts people of color and also people who are lower income. I mean, especially when it comes to out of the nearly, 120 million people who live in areas with unhealthy air quality, a disproportionate number, more than half, are people of color. If individuals also don't have the economic means to, you know, upgrade their appliances, buy an electric car, you know, take these measures, what other economical ways can people, even if it's a small way, what can they do to help cut down on pollutants and emissions?
Sure. Well, there are two things. One, there are local programs that are geared towards lower income folks who, you know, to help with the purchase price of a new or used electric vehicle. So that exists in our community. There's additional federal funding going to that through the Inflation Reduction Act. So there are programs tailored to lower income consumers, but there's also things like, you know, carpooling, looking at walking and biking if that's an accessible option, and then, you know, combining trips or looking at, you know, different ways to, you know, put out less pollution while getting your daily activities done. And I think that considering that before your day starts is always, you know, a way to look at, you know, how can you contribute to cleaner air?
Well, thanks for the time.
Thanks so much.
Will Barrett is the National Senior Director of Clean Air Advocacy for the American Lung Association. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.